the ascension when Jesus was taken up into the clouds. And that word ascend, this word ascend means to move, to climb, to go upward. It means to rise to a higher point. And then I love this last part. It means to proceed from an inferior level to a superior level. When you ascend, you're going from something to something that is greater. And so we live in a world where typically up is better than down, right? I mean, you normally want to be up and not down. I imagine in most cases, if you're a music artist, you want to be on top of the charts, right? You want to see your song rising in the charts, getting to the top. Athletes want to rise to the top of their league. They want to win the championship, win the prize, okay? Employees want to be at the top. You may not necessarily want to be the boss. You may not want to be in leadership, but you do want to be at the top of the pay scale wherever you work, right? I mean, Donald, wouldn't you like to be paid the most of everybody where you work? That's what we want. We want to rise to the top of the pay scale. For those that don't know, Donald owns his own business, so I think he is the top. But students want to be at the top, right? You want to have A's. I mean, nobody really enjoys failing or getting low grades. They would like to get A's. They may not want to put the effort into it, but they want to be at the top if they could just have it given to them. You want to see investments go up, right? You don't want to see investments go down. You want to see them go up. You want to see them ascending, going to the top to a superior level. How many of you want your mood to go up some days, right? I mean, we don't want to be down. I mean, you know, there's times where people are down and they throw themselves a pity party, and I'm in this boat. I'm not accusing anybody, but we kind of almost like to sulk, but I mean, ultimately, we don't want to stay there. We want to be up. We want to come out of that and get back on top and have a good mood. People want to feel like they're on top. Well, this is why our feelings drive so much of what we say and do, is because we want to feel like we're on the top, and that's really easy. You just have to become an astronaut. You can literally get on top of the world. That was a really bad joke, wasn't it? You're not even smiling, let alone laughing. Okay. But we want our faith to go up, right? We want our faith to be at a greater level. This is our nature, right? No one feels good about getting less, about going down, about being last. God has created us to have this desire to go upward. He's given us this desire within us to go to greater heights, greater levels. It's part of why men have fallen into such great and deep sin, right? It's like when we do things, we just go better and better and bigger. It's why they tried to build the Tower of Babel, right? It's like they're basically using this innate desire in them to get on top, to conquer, to do more, to be greater. And he tells us some things in the word, like to fix our mind on the things that are above. That's the things that are greater, right? I mean, that's the heavenly things, the things that are greater in this life. No one feels good about less. Fix your mind on things above. The psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the hills where my help comes from, right? I got to lift my head up. I got to look up. I've got to look upward to see where my help comes from. This blind man in Mark chapter 8, okay, he was healed, and you guys will remember this. He was healed, and it says that he began to see, right? And it was like men walking like trees. And then Jesus continued to minister to him, and he got full healing, full recovery of his sight. But do you know that point where he could see the men, the figures of men walking like trees? You know when that happened? It said it was when he looked up, right? So Jesus ministered to him, and he maybe has his head down, and he still can't see, and it was when he lifted his head is when he began to get his vision back. God is calling you upward. He's calling us to go up, to draw near, to come up to where he's at. And when we look at the accounts of the ascension, Jesus' ascension to heaven, this was Thursday, this past Thursday was Ascension Day, and I was telling Bud the other day that I was going to preaching on Pentecost next week, and I don't necessarily do those every year, but I told him, I said, I don't know why we don't. Christ's ascension to heaven is a big deal. Like, this wasn't just like, oh, that's the cool story that happened. Like, this was a really big deal that happened. Pentecost is the beginning of the church. That's a really big deal. These things are as big as Christmas and Easter, right? They're big milestones, big things to remember and draw back on in our faith. And so this was a significant event. You guys know Jesus went up so the Spirit could come down? I mean, hallelujah, glory to God. He also went for a reason. You know that he went there to do something? The word tells us he went to prepare a place for us. Hallelujah, I'm glad that you went there, Jesus. He's probably the reason that he hasn't come back yet is he's still preparing the place for me. He's probably like, I'll find a place for him somewhere, you know, but he's preparing a place for us and he's going to come back for us. He had to go upward so that we could go upward, right? Jesus, here's what we got to remember. Jesus was the first fruits, right? And so he went upward so that we could go upward. He ascended to heaven so that there will be a day where we will ascend to heaven as well. And so today as we look at the ascension, I'll be mostly in Luke chapter 24 and Acts chapter 1. If you don't know, Luke wrote the book of Luke, obviously, but he also wrote Acts chapter 1, so both of these things kind of go together here. But starting in verse 50, it says, "Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen." That's the end of the book. It's the end of Luke, Luke's letter. These disciples, what we've got to remember is for this moment right here marked the end of an era. Right? They had roughly 3.5 years with Jesus. He died, he rose from the dead, and he was around again for another 40 days, again in their midst. And when he ascended right here, when he left this time, it was the end of an era. He would no longer be with them physically on the earth, walking around. I mean, just think about what it's like when you're around someone a lot. I mean, right now this is like a distant memory to us, right? Like being around someone a lot, being able to put your arm around them, pat them on the back, shake their hand, share a meal with them, all these things that we do that you'd get comforted by them, that you have conversations with them, not just deep conversations, but even sometimes just talking about whatever, the weather or sports, just normal conversation. And so these men and women, they would have had this kind of relationship with Jesus. But he's leaving. He's gone. All of a sudden, the old way of knowing Jesus is gone to them. It's going to be different for the rest of their time on the earth. His physical presence is gone. I know we can a little bit relate to that again with the things that we've been going through. The disciples were in this place where they would now have to learn how to experience their relationship differently. How do I experience my relationship with Christ differently now? Everything changes. Anybody ever had somebody like close to you move across country or something? It's like you can still have a relationship with them, but now it's different. It's like you got to learn how this is, it's completely different. It's the same person, but how do we actually relate to one another? How do we actually spend time with one another? But it's a little bit easier because you can fly to where they are, right? Unfortunately, we can't just like, well, I'm just going to go to heaven for the day. I guess you can spiritually. But when we think about this end for these disciples, we got to remember that this was also a beginning. The beginning of something more. And I love the way that they respond. This is the end of an era, but it wasn't the end of them. You guys notice that? It didn't destroy them. It didn't destroy their faith. They didn't get depressed and down in the dumps. It didn't shatter them. It says that they left there with great joy. Now Jesus, who is their master, their teacher, their leader, and then he became their Savior, and he became their Lord. And now he leaves, and it says that they left too with great joy. This is a new beginning that the Lord had planned for them. Would you believe me if I told you that this story only gets better for them? Right? As Jesus leaves, the story only gets better. The experience only gets better. The power only gets better. Because here's the thing is, when God ends one thing for you, he starts another. And when he starts another, I want to tell you that it's always better for you. I didn't say you will like it as much. I said it's always better for you. You see, it's a call upward. This was calling them from this place of relationship to this place of relationship. See, it was going to be a greater, deeper, more powerful experience that they were going to have with the Lord. It's better for them. This is a marker here. Again, fix your eyes on the things above. This is the moment to remind us. When we think about Jesus ascending to heaven, this is a moment to remind us that he is preparing things. Like I said, he's preparing a place for you. That's great. It's amazing. I'm looking forward to that mansion. I mean, I'm really curious what that's going to look like. You ever seen a picture of like a celebrity's mansion, like on TV or whatever, in a magazine, and you're like, oh my gosh, that is ridiculous. Like, who needs a house that big? Like, who would want to clean a house that big? Well, they don't clean it. They pay somebody. But you just look at it, and you're just like, you literally can't imagine really how big that is. How big do you think this mansion is going to be in heaven? Right? There's going to be a lot of people there. We're all going to be there. Amen? He prepared this place for us, but do you know that he's also, while he's up there, do you know that he's also preparing us? He's preparing you to do the work that he created you to do. Do you know that he's preparing the hearts of others who have not yet received him to receive the gospel? Do you know that he's preparing himself for battle? I think we forget about that one. Do you know that he's preparing himself to return for his bride? There's a lot of preparation that comes out of the ascension. We can be assured of these things, and I want to show you what Luke wrote in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 9. It says, now when Jesus had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. This is the point Jesus, or that Luke is getting at, is the same Jesus is coming back. It's the same Jesus that's coming back. You saw him go up, one day you will see him come down. You saw him go up into the clouds, one day you'll see him coming on the clouds. There's this song that I love by House Fires called Blessings. And they sing this one verse in it that says, let the praises go up and the blessing come down. As the praises go up, let the blessing come down. This is rooted out of Psalm 67. That phrase is not in there, but when you read Psalm 67, it talks about praising the Lord, and then it talks about the Lord blessing the people. And if you remember a couple weeks ago when I preached out of Deuteronomy, I shared that it said that he is our praise, right? Jesus is our praise. Now think about that song again. As the praises go up, the blessing comes down. As Jesus our praise, as he goes up, the blessing comes down. Jesus, the Holy Spirit's the blessing. The blessing comes down, the greatest blessing. Luke 24:50, it said that he led them out as far as Bethany. He led them out. They were in Jerusalem, and he took them out of Jerusalem. Now, if you don't really know the geography of this, it's not real far, maybe a couple of miles to the edge of Bethany. But here's what you got to know. They're in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is this place that they're familiar with. Jerusalem is the place where they are comfortable. Jerusalem's the place where they had the most friends, the most support, Jerusalem's the place where they had probably a lot of their greatest experiences with Jesus. Jerusalem was probably the place that they really, really liked. And Jesus led them out. Why do you think that is? He led them out of this place of comfort. I think that sometimes Jesus leads you out of a place of comfort when he wants to bring you to a place of blessing. See, we like comfort. But when we're comfortable, we don't really need much of anything, do we? Right? If you're sitting on the couch and you're comfortable and you already, you know, you got maybe a glass of tea or whatever and you got the remote, like, I'm comfortable. I don't really need anything. Now, if my wife calls me out in the front yard to pull weeds where I'm not quite so comfortable, and then Marissa comes and is like, hey, Dad, do you need something to drink? I'd be like, yeah, I would love something to drink. See, I had to come out of the place where I was comfortable to get something that was a blessing. And as he calls them out of this place, I want to tell you that he calls them out because they're comfortable and they didn't see the need for something more. But he says, follow me, because when you follow him, there's a blessing in store. You see, blessing always follows obedience. It always follows obedience. And when Jesus led them to Bethany, it says he lifted hands and he blessed them. Think about what it means to bless somebody. If you bless somebody, it literally means to speak good things over them, right? If you're going to bless somebody, you speak things to them. When somebody says something to you that's uplifting, you're like, man, they blessed me, right? It's to speak things out upon them. I mean, who doesn't love a blessing? I mean, everybody likes to be blessed. It requires the action of the mouth. Bless somebody. But Jesus didn't just speak a blessing. It says he lifted his hands and spoke a blessing. There's something significant about this, because it's not a requirement to lift your hands to bless. It's a requirement to open your mouth to bless. But he lifts his hands. He doesn't just leave it to speaking. See, in the Old Testament, the priest could speak blessing. They could pronounce blessing over people. They did this a lot, and we see it in Scripture over and over. We even started singing a song a while back, Blessing, right? It's different from Blessings that I referred to earlier. This is a different song called The Blessing that we have sung, but what does it say, right? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. This is a cry of the priests over Aaron and his family, right? So the priest is declaring the blessing over them. But see, the priest could not do one step of that. He could declare the blessing, but he couldn't actually apply the blessing. See, Jesus is in a different place than a priest. As our high priest, who is God, he declares the blessing, but he's also the same one who bestows the blessing. He's also the one who applies the blessing, who makes the blessing happen. And so not only does he speak it over them, but he lifts his hands to heaven, right? His holy hands, his hands that are a sign of great wonder and power and might and all authority, as though I am right now not just speaking a blessing, but I am releasing a blessing over my people. You see, guys, this is the first time. This is the first time that Jesus released the blessing of heaven upon the children of God. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon said, "If he has blessed you, then you shall be blessed. For there is no power in heaven or earth or hell that can reverse the blessing which he gives." Once Jesus releases the blessing, there's no going back. Once he releases the blessing, there is nothing that can stop that blessing from coming upon you. And some of you need to receive that today. A couple of psalms I want to share with you. Psalm 146, verse 5 and 7. Happy, or others say blessed, is he who has the Lord God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. This is part of the blessing of the Lord. Psalm 84, verse 11 and 12. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Our God is a God of blessing, and nothing can reverse the blessing that he gives. And so Jesus releases this blessing from heaven upon the people. He gives the authority as he lifts his hands. And in 51 it says, now it came to pass that while he blessed them, that he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Guys, when I go to heaven, I'm going with my hands up. That's what Jesus did. He went with his hands up. He went with his hands up, releasing a blessing. I'm going with my hands up in surrender and praise and hallelujah. This is the most amazing thing. Like I've told you over and over, I've always wanted to fly. It's going to happen that day, this way. I don't know anybody that can do that. That's like a rocket. Only a rocket can do that. Straight up, fly like that. Jesus releases this blessing, and while he's blessing them, he takes off. You guys know anybody who kind of thinks like a squirrel runs? Probably some of you in this room are like that. You think like a squirrel runs. You know, like they go in front of the car and not in front of the car, in front of the car, and you know how it is. You've seen squirrels. They're pretty squirrely. Here we see Jesus releasing a blessing, and he takes off. And immediately I thought of those people that are like that, that they think like a squirrel runs. Like, they're telling you something really good, and they don't even get to the point, and the next thing you know, they're over here doing something. And you're like, what are you doing? Finish the story. Or they start to tell you one story, and then immediately they get off on a different story, and you're like, wait a minute. It's like you left something undone over here, and I'd really like to hear what else comes of this story. It sounded like it was good. It sounded like it was interesting. Get back to the story. And I kind of wonder if the disciples here, it's like, he's in the middle of blessing us. Where is he going? I mean, Jesus is right of speaking, and I wish so much. Aren't there times where you wish that the word told you more detail? Like, I want to know what was the blessing, Jesus. I want to know what were you speaking over them that as you're speaking it, you just leave. Like, did he leave something open-ended? Did he leave something for them to think about, for them to consider? I imagine here they are getting the blessing from the Lord. And if I was in their shoes, I would be thinking, but Lord, I want the full blessing. Like, come back. Come back and finish the blessing. I want the full thing. But I want to tell you, church, that they got the full blessing. They got the full blessing. They just had to wait about 10 more days for it. They waited about 10 more days. You're going to hear more about that next week in 7 days. All right? I believe that Jesus wanted this to be the last thing that they experienced in his presence before he returned to heaven, was this blessing. I believe the last thing he wanted them to remember was him blessing them, releasing the blessing of heaven over their lives as he departed. Do you have last memories of somebody? Whether they passed away or maybe they moved away and somehow they're just not in your life anymore, we tend to often remember the last encounter. We tend to really hold on to that last moment, whether it's good or bad. And we might remember a lot of other things. We have a lot of memories of those people, but there's nothing like the last one. The last one just kind of sticks with you. And I kind of believe that Jesus wanted this last moment to really stick with them. I want you to picture me like this forever. Right? As he's going up. Remember me releasing the blessing of heaven over your life. If you're going to remember anything, you should remember that one. He ascends to heaven. He's carried up into the clouds. And Jesus, what you may not remember is that from the time after he was resurrected, as he was among the people for 40 days, he would just vanish. Like, he would be in their midst. He would be talking to them, and not necessarily mid-sentence, but he would just disappear. If you don't believe me, it's in the same chapter, one of the accounts, and I think it's verse like 31, Luke 24, I think 31, can read that. He just vanishes. He just leaves. And see, he could have done that right here. He could have just disappeared, but he ascended to heaven right in front of their very eyes because he wanted them to see this and to remember this moment, because this was the start of something more for them. This was the start of a call to go farther, to go higher. It was a sign. Again, as the praises go up, as he goes up, the blessing comes down. And verse 52 says, and they worshiped him. They worshiped him and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Don't you wonder how long they stood there looking? Right? Because we know science, right? Science is always right. Science tells us that if something goes up, it must come down. And I wonder how long they stood there like, well, he's got to fall sometime. Right? I mean, it's only a matter of time before he's coming back down. I wonder how long they kind of looked up there like, surely he's coming back. Again, remember, if I'm there, I'm thinking, well, he wasn't done talking. Like, he must have just got a, he must have got a call to heaven, and he's going to come right back. But I wonder how long they stood there and looked. Because if you go back to that account in Acts, also written by Luke, it said what the angel said to them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing into heaven? I mean, how long of a period had that been where the angels had to come and be like, guys, what are you doing? Like, why are you still standing there staring? Don't you know that the same Jesus that you just saw ascend to heaven, that he's going to come back in the same way? Like, move along. Carry on with your business, right? Because just before he ascended, he also gave them the Great Commission. He told them to go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to command them to do all the things, observe all the things that I have commanded you. He told them that right before he ascended. And so I imagine these angels come like, all right, it's time to move along. But remember, this was different for them. This was the end of an era, the last time that Jesus had left them at the cross. They went away in a little bit different mood. They went away with a little bit of sorrow and some weeping. And yeah, they knew what he said. They knew that he said something about raising from the dead in 3 days and stuff. But it, I mean, if we're being honest, that most of them didn't really believe it. They weren't really that sure if, like, did we really understand him right? And they left in a place of anguish. This time they leave in a place of rejoicing. They stand, they worship him, they're in awe of him. Can you imagine the scene? I love to just picture myself being one of them. When I read the word, I try to interject myself into the story all the time, where I'm like, what would that be like if I was standing there? And I always think, you know, we get down on Peter a lot, that Peter's kind of the numbskull. Peter says the stupid things, does the stupid things. Praise God that I'm alive now. Or you guys would be reading about Tim, about how he did the stupid thing. Tim would have been the one, like, Peter would have been like, Peter's awesome. Tim's an idiot. You know, he's the one that's always questioning and doubting and all that stuff. But I just picture myself being there. How amazing would this have been? Right? This God who led them out, blessed them, has been miraculously taken up into the clouds, and he's coming back. Right? We don't normally like goodbyes. We don't like to see people leave. Right? When we have get-togethers and, you know, even church before COVID-19, it's like sometimes you couldn't get everybody to leave here, and I'd just be shutting off the lights, and people would be like, I'm sorry, we need to get out of here. I'm like, you don't need to get out of here. I'm just shutting off the lights. Like, stay as long as you want. I don't care. But it's like you hate to see people leave. Sometimes when you do family get-togethers, there's the one person that you can't wait for them to leave. And if you don't know who that person is, it's you, okay? Everybody's like, finally, Tim left, right? We can finally have some fun here. But they didn't want to see him go, yet isn't it kind of ironic that they weren't sad to see him go either? They find themselves at a place of worship because, see, worship is a call upward. Worship is when we take ourselves spiritually and we go from being here to being here. It's this spiritual step upward, and so they worship him. When we worship the Lord, we take our eyes off of our circumstances and we fix them on him. And so when they see him like going up into the clouds, they're not thinking, woe is me. They're not thinking, what about me? Because their focus is not on them. It's on him. And so when we come to a place of worship, it's that call upward. It's that I'm not looking within myself, but I'm looking at the Lord and how amazing he is. And so they worshiped him. Their minds were fixed on the fact that, man, he is God, right? I mean, if you had any doubt before, I mean, at this point they should know for sure, but if you had any doubt before, you ain't ever seen anybody do that before. He's got to be God. They're like, they're looking at him in awe and wonder and worship like, man, he is amazing. Look at that. Did you see that? Man, now is the time to worship. It's always the time to worship. It leads to a place of great joy. I believe that's why they departed there in great joy, is because the last thing they had done was worship. I don't know about you, but when I worship God, I always depart in great joy. Sometimes I'm not very joyful coming into worship, right? And I'm talking about not just here at the church, but at home, on my own. Sometimes I'm in a place of being down and discouraged, but listen, when you come to a place of worship, it's a call upward, and you can leave in great joy. And it says in verse 53, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Can I take just a moment here and point out the significance of the people of God assembling together? You see this? They left his ascension after worship and great joy, and it says that they were continually in the temple together. They were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. I don't mean this to be personal to anybody here or watching online, but I am so sick and tired of the posts about the church is not a building. If you're part of the church, you already understand that the church is not a building, but it doesn't mean that the building that we meet in is insignificant, right? Because meeting is significant. Meeting is essential. We see right here that it's so important, it's so vital to what they're doing, that they leave Jesus' presence as he ascends to heaven. They're already worshiping. They're already joyful. And what do? They go assemble some more. They go to the temple. And it says continually they're praising and blessing God. It's important for the body of Christ to assemble. I would argue that it's critical for the body of Christ to assemble, both in times of sorrow and in times of rejoicing. Here they're together, and they went to the church building, right? This would have been their church building, the temple. When did they do that? Continually. They continued to do it over and over and over. It wasn't a one-time thing, but they met there regularly to praise him, to bless him, to worship. See, the gathering of God's people together is another call upward. It's another call upward. The body is meant to function together as one organism, right? We may be many parts, but we function together as one with Christ as the head. And when we think about the body of Christ, the people of God as a body, right? A body functions together because there is blood that flows back and forth from one to another. You realize it's how you like your arms and stuff and your legs, you know they need blood flow, right? The blood has to flow down and it has to flow back. It's important because without that connection, it can't maintain life for very long. Go ahead and don't do this. I was going to say go ahead and do this. But if someone was to tie like a tourniquet around their arm, if you leave it there for too long, your arm will die, right? I mean, it's not good for you to do that long term. It needs the blood flow back and forth, and you still need, the thing is, I don't want to get out from the point that we still have a head, and his name is Jesus, right? You still need the signals from the brain. The brain is still the one that's in charge, but that doesn't take away the need for the blood that's flowing back and forth. We need to be connected to Jesus, otherwise we're brain dead, and nobody wants to be a part of a brain dead church. Amen? There's a lot of them out there. Believe me, there's plenty of brain dead churches where they're not connected to Christ, they're just doing what they want to do. But to function properly, right, to carry those signals from the head, we've got to be connected to the body, the church, to let that blood flow back and forth. It lifts us up, right? It elevates us. When we come together, we become mentally and spiritually recharged and renewed and refueled and elevated again. And so the question I have for you this morning is, how is the Lord calling you upward today? If you would stand to your feet. How is the Lord calling you, you personally, how's he calling you upward today? Is he leading you out from something? Are you in that place of comfort like the disciples were? And it says that he had to lead them out to receive the blessing. He had to take them away from a place of comfort. Is there something in your life, some area of your life that the Lord needs to lead you out of? Are you one that just needs to receive the blessing? And sometimes we're so worried, we don't know what to do with it, or it's not going to be what we want. Do you just need to receive the blessing today? Or are you one who needs to go upward in worship? You know where you're at mentally, physically, spiritually. Feel like you're in this place of constantly being down, being in despair, being in a place of need, and you just, you don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you that if you come to a place of worship, if we can get our eyes off of our circumstances, if we can put them on the Lord, there's no telling what he can do when he calls us upward. Or do you need to connect? Do you need to get associated with the body of Christ, with fellow believers, that blood can flow back and forth between you? It's a two-way street. It's the way God designed us, was to need one another. He wants you to go upward. He wants you to ascend. He wants you to rise to a higher point. He wants you to proceed from an inferior place to a superior place. But that's different for each and every one of us. So what is it for you? Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your word is true. God, we thank you that your word is life-changing. And this morning, we're believing for each and every person that is in this place, every person that is watching online. Lord, we're believing that as you have a call to go upward for each and every one of us from wherever we are. It's not about going to where somebody else is at. It's not about even getting back to a place where we maybe once were. It's about just going upward to the place that you're calling us to go. And so, Father, this morning, whatever our needs are, whatever our heartaches are, whatever our desires are, Lord, I just pray that right now we would be a people that would surrender those things and say, Holy Spirit, I know you're calling me to go upward. Here I come. Jesus, you said to follow you. I'm coming. I'm following you. You tell me to follow you. You ascended to heaven, Lord. You tell us that spiritually, Lord, that we are seated in heavenly places when we are in Christ. That is my home, in heavenly places. That means I am a conqueror. I am victorious over whatever it is that I'm dealing with, that as you have a place for me to go higher, to come from this inferior place in my life to a place that is superior in my life. Lord, we want to receive that today. God, I believe that you're preparing a place for us. I believe you're preparing us for whatever work you created us for. I believe you're preparing us for right now to take that step, to go upward. I believe you're preparing us to be ministers of the gospel. I believe you're preparing some of us to receive the gospel this morning. Lord, we believe that you came, that you live a sinless life, that you died on a cross, a murderer's death, brutal death, that you did that for us. Why? Because you have a call for us to go upward. You died for us in our place. You overcame, you rose from the grave, you ascended to heaven because that is our destiny. Jesus, I know that you're preparing for battle right now. I know that you're preparing to return for your bride. Lord, and as so much as we can help, we want every person within the sound of our voice to be a part of that bride. We want every person, no matter race, no matter their upbringing, no matter their status in society, no matter their status financially, Lord, we want every person to be where you are. We want every person to be with us as your bride returns to heaven to inhabit that mansion that you've created us to live in your presence forevermore. So right now, we just surrender to you. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way. As you call us upward, let us go. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.